Scripture reading this morning comes from the second chapter of Matthew, beginning in verse 1. Listen now to hear God's word for us. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may go also and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, your voice calls us and claims us as your people and invites us into new relationships with others and ourselves. So by your Spirit, let us hear your voice speaking to us through these words of Scripture and prepare us for service. In Jesus' name, amen. Early Christians did a remarkable job of setting the church calendar. At least in this hemisphere, Advent begins in darkness. Just after we pass the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year, we celebrate the birth of Christ and the return of light to the world. Epiphany begins the season of growing light. Slowly, the days start to lengthen. And starting today, the church will begin again to tell the story of Jesus. And each Sunday going forward, we will discover once again who he is and where he is leading us to take notice of our own lives. We begin that journey today with the wise men. Matthew does not specify how many there were, but tradition has made it three because of the three gifts they presented. And yes, I know all the jokes about how the fourth was turned away for bringing a fruitcake, and had they been wise women instead of wise men, someone would have had the good sense to bring a casserole. But the truth is, we don't know much. The obscure word Matthew uses to describe them is magi, which really doesn't translate well into English. It's where we get our word magician, and that's about the only clue we have as to who and what they were. They may have been astrologers or even astronomers. The other thing we don't know is what it is the magi were following. Matthew says they saw a star. Halley's Comet made an appearance about that time. There's record of an explosion of a supernova in that same period. Maybe it was a convergence of Jupiter and Saturn like we had last week that made one gigantic bright spot in the sky. Whatever it was enough. It was enough to make the magi start out across the desert in search of something. They didn't know what they were looking for. But something, some feeling, some hunch, some tug at the heart, something told them that this star was worth following. What what Matthew does tell us is that they come from the east, most likely Persia, which is present-day Iran. That means they are Gentiles, not Jews. They have scientific skills honed from years of watching and studying the skies, skills sharp enough to take them as far as Jerusalem, just 9 miles from the baby in Bethlehem. Herod and his entourage are Jews, not Gentiles, and they know all about the coming of the Messiah and about the ancient prophecies. But they have their noses pressed so far into a book that they have failed to notice what's going on in the sky 9 miles down the road. Celtic Christians talk about reading from the two books of God, the big book and the little book. The big book refers to the universe, to creation, all the things that have been made and that point us to God. The little book, physically little, is the book of Scripture, to which we listen as God speaks to us through human history. And the Celts say that we have to listen to these two books at the same time. We have to listen to them in stereo, to the big book and the little book. If we listen only to the little book, Scripture, and ignore the big book, creation, we missed the vastness of the message of God in all things. And if we listen only to the big book, the expression of God in the universe, and ignore the little book, the Word of God in Scripture, we miss the intimacy of the message, God speaking to each of us in the hidden places of our hearts. And it looks to me like that's exactly what's happening here. The Magi are reading the big book of creation without the guidance of the little book of Scripture. And Herod's priests and scribes are reading the little book of Scripture and missing the signs written in the sky above them. And so I wonder if maybe that's Matthew's way of reminding us again that we need one another. Because neither of these groups, neither Herod nor the Magi, have everything they need to find the child. The people with the scriptures need the outsiders to help them see what they're missing. And the outsiders who've seen the natural revelation in the stars need the scripture to help them understand what it is that's being revealed. Matthew seems to be reminding us that God's truth is revealed to Jew and Gentile alike, and we need each other in order to fully understand it. Another way to say that is that God has a way of working outside the religious establishment as well as within it. That's a message that Matthew will return to over and over in his gospel. When a Canaanite woman comes seeking help for her sick child, Jesus tells her that he has come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she reminds him that even the dogs get the crumbs that fall under the table. His eyes are opened. Her child is made well. When a Roman centurion asks for his servant to be healed, Jesus tells him that he, in all of Israel, he has not found such faith. The government soldier standing guard at the crucifixion is the first to proclaim, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Matthew cannot let go of the point. When Christ comes into the world, his message of truth and love and goodness is not confined by human boundaries. It is for all people in all the world. I read a story this week about Zappos, you know, the online shoe company. Zappos considers customer service to be one of its highest values. While lots of companies encourage their phone representatives to keep calls as short as possible to maximize volume, Zappos does the opposite. Apparently, the current record for Zappos' longest customer service call is something like 6 hours. One woman called the company after returning from her mother's funeral. In the midst of her grief, she had failed to send back some shoes, and even though it was past time for the return window, She wanted to know if something could be done. The rep on the phone listened and told her how sorry she was for her loss. Then she told her they would send out an empty box with a shipping label. She could put the shoes in it and send them back, no problem, which was nice. The next day, something entirely unexpected happened. A large flower arrangement arrived at the woman's house from Zappos. See, the truth is that whether they know it or not, there are all kinds of unlikely people from all manner of religious and non-religious backgrounds pointing the way to Jesus all the time, in small acts of love and hospitality, in gestures of peace and reconciliation. What the light of Epiphany reveals is that all the people whom we hold at arm's length, the ones who don't look like us or come from somewhere else, each and every one of them has something to offer that is a reflection of the one in whose image we are made. God is bigger than anything any of us can conceive. God's ways are stranger than we could ever imagine. And God has a way of using unlikely people to open our eyes, to look beyond our own comfort zones, and to remind us who we are meant to be. Arrogance is a sad and dangerous thing. God's own chosen people learned that at Bethlehem, when it took some outsiders to help them literally see the light. Amen.